Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Foods & Inc.'s Q3 FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain certain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on belief, opinion, and expectation of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Milind Dalal, Managing Director, Foods & Inc. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, my fellow shareholders, analysts, future investors, ladies and gentlemen. As per the tradition of having started this investor call post each quarter, here we are. Along with me in my room is our CEO, Mr. Molloy Sahar, and our CFO, Mr. Anand Krishnan. We shall endeavor to reply to your queries and any understanding that you would require. Briefly, what I would want to convey is that we have seen a bit of a muted quarter. Having said that, the current quarter's call-offs have been good. That's the trend shown for the month of January. And looking forward to a great closure of the year-end and the quarter. Two significant events which have just happened. One was that the Ministry of Food Processing Industry, apart from our eligibility on the PLI scheme, we are also applying for the cold store scheme and that cold chain scheme. And that our second installment of approximately 3.5 crores has been disbursed and has been credited to our account last week. And another significant disclosure, which we already have been put up on the exchange site, is that the reclassification of my erstwhile co-promoter, the Dupelia family, has been approved by the exchange, both the exchanges as of yesterday. That kind of, I would leave it open to my colleague to brief you all further and then take up your questions.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Anand Krishnan, the CFO at Foods & Limited. Thank you for joining us, and I extend a very warm welcome to all the participants of our Q3 FY24 investor conference call. Quarter 2 and 3 have been a couple of muted quarters for us. We have encountered headwinds which are temporary, but we remain committed to our long-term vision and strategy. Also, as mentioned in the previous conference call, what one needs to understand is that the business model is such that there is a committed volume that will be taken up by the client anytime over a period of 15 to 16 months. There is no strict monthly or quarterly commitment that runs through the contract. The commitment gets honored anytime during the 15-month period. Having said the same, the customers also pay us an inventory holding cost to compensate for the higher inventory holding period as and when the call-off happens. As of 30th December 2023, we have applied for PLI incentive for the second year of FY23 for approximately around 18 crores and are awaiting the receipt of the same. Last year we received the same in July of 2023. So timelines with respect to when it can be received is actually up to the government. Also, the company has received an amount of 3.37 crores under the cold chain subsidy scheme of the Government of India on the 25th of January 2024. This amount will not be accounted in the P&L but will be credited to the respective asset as it is in the nature of capital subsidy. I hope all of you had the opportunity to go through our published results and the investor notes shared on the stock exchanges. We have processed lower quantities of tomato and guava in the Q3 quarter as there were lower crop availability in our catchment areas. We have onboarded new clients in our spray-dried business and have grown the Kusum Masala business in domestic market. Our own brand Tetra Rica products are now available in Nature's Basket and a few other emerging modern trade outlets. We continue to negotiate with various partners for co-packing in Tetra Rica but have not yet signed on the dotted line with any. Our Pectin project Beyond Mango has started test production and will commence commercial production from Q1 of FY25. As I come to the end of my opening remarks, I would like to thank each one of you for your unwavering support and your invaluable presence on this call. Now I request the moderator to open the forum for any questions or suggestions that you all may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Sudhir Beda from Beda Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. My questions are what could be the reason of lower offtake, sir, in the last two quarters? Of course, we are a 15-month contract, but is there any particular reason why our offtake was not the way we expected? As I understand the demand of our product is much more than the supply. That was my understanding. But what led to this kind of offtake? If you can spell out some your finding or reasons.
Is this the only question or you have any other
question? No, I have one more question.
Okay, so we'll just respond to this and then probably take the other question.
Yes.
It is Mohammed Shah. The reason in the last previous call also we have explained that in the month of May, second half, May 2023, the northern region part of India experienced some unseasonal rain, which significantly affects the temperature and juice as drink industry in India is basically a summer season, and all the big brands like Coca-Cola, PepsiCo or Parle, their sales got affected. So that is the overall one of the reasons, quite the reason for this lower uptake. But these two quarters, that is quarter 2 and quarter 3, the uptake is not much low compared to what have been explained to us by this big brand as well as quarter 3. Generally, if you see the trend of this market, quarter 1 and quarter 4, these are the two quarters when the major uptake takes place. Accordingly, if you see our quarter 1, there is a good growth and we are also expecting a moderate growth in Q4, that is current quarter. So there is no major setback on this, but one item on this particular thing I would like to highlight on the tomato. Last year, in the quarter 3, we have a good tomato volume produced as well as sales. But this quarter, there is an issue in the tomato production because tomato growing region in western part, that is in Nashik region, due to inadequate rain or water availability, there is a crop fail, which has overall affected the tomato production as well as the zest price. That is one of the reasons. Second is in December 20th onwards, in our export shipment, it got also affected because due to the recent Red Sea issue, was the news that most of the shipment from India and China is getting affected due to Red Sea, which is for last 10 days in December quarter, our export shipment is almost zero because there is no vessel availability and we could not ship anything. But that problem is now solved partially, not fully, and the shipment has started. So these are a few reasons, but as my colleague Anand has explained that, and as you also told that it's a 15-month period just that, so there is nothing, no major concern. It's only the spillover of the dispatch from this month to that month. That is the only thing.
And sir, will this kind of lower offtake or maybe whatever be the reason, that will affect the next year's planning and next year's volume, which they will, you know, guarantee the offtake. So because of the lower offtake this year, there will have a spillover effect in the next year.
Offtake wise, there will be no issue because the confirmed order they will be taking. But yes, all the brands are assessing the situation. It's too early to say if it is a good summer, which are expecting, as well as this is an election year. So there is a, what has been informed to us that there is a good volume demand, and they don't see any major setback on the next year production. But it is too early to say, you have to give another couple of months to get an idea what will be the next year target.
I would like to add one more thing to give you more confidence on this. Basically, a lot of the brands that we deal with, as in the previous year, they actually spoke to us about 3-year contracts rather than a single year contract. Basically, because of the newer brands coming into the market, they want to protect themselves. And there are a lot of export customers also who have been actually talking to us about volume commitment. So we are really not worried about the volume at all, because we are quite confident on growing the volumes with respect to whatever strategies and plans that we have, and the vision that we actually shared with you guys in the previous year. It will definitely continue is what I want to share, say in short.
Understood, sir. And lastly, sir, has competitive force has affected the lower volume? That kind of thing has happened because some of the facilities which were closed and that they restarted the facilities. So in any way, that is a have a bearing on our volume?
No. Overall industry, if you see the last 2 years, it is going in a double digit. This year, as of now, the industry, I'm talking about brands, beverage brands, they are going a single digit, but they are expecting that in this quarter it will reach to double digit. So overall demand quite good. In fact, if we have to cater such kind of demand, no more capacities are required. So there is no concern whether the plants which are earlier or facilities which are earlier closed, they have started operation or that's not a concern for us. And I think overall industry is growing and need more and more capacities. So that's what I'd like to say.
Understood. So really, I am thankful for, you know, having getting the very detailed and elaborate answer from you. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kapil Ahuja from Equinox Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Very good afternoon, Milind sir, Saha sir, Anand sir, and all the management. My question is, till date, how much amount have we invested in Tetra Recard facility? And what will be the revenue potential of this Tetra Recard 12 months, 18 months down the line? And what will be the approximate, rough estimate of EBITDA margin to finish?
Hi, this is Lalit Krishnan here. So we have invested around 31 crores in the Tetra Recard facility. On a fully utilized capacity basis, we would actually have a return of around 100 crores. But 100 crores is based on the only single line that we have actually installed as of now. The infrastructure has been actually set up for 4 more lines which we can actually install in the same facility as such. So without too much of capex related to building and infra, we can actually expand the capacity and quite quickly as well.
And the EBITDA margin?
EBITDA margin should be north of around 15-18% as such.
And we'll get PLI benefit also on the capex that we have done with them.
Absolutely.
And is there any delay with this Tetra Recard facility to commence operations?
Sorry, I didn't get your question.
Is there any delay? There have been delay in conceptualizing to start this operation?
No, there has been no delay with respect to conceptualization. What has actually happened is that a lot of the B2B customers whom we have actually approached wanted smaller sample sizes to be actually done for them and have a proof of concept ready for them. So we have already installed the smaller line, testing line now, and we have actually started giving those samples to most of the brands that we have been speaking to. It's just that we have not signed on the dotted line with respect to these larger brands, but we are quite hopeful to do something quite soon.
Okay.
So our products, we have already started launching them in the emerging modern retail trade outlets. Nature Basket is one of the outlets where you will actually find our products.
Okay, so the single line will be running. It's up and running now?
Yeah, absolutely, it's running.
It's a very high capacity line, so we will have to do minimum production of a very high size, and that's what Anand was just explaining, that we have just gotten the pilot plant come in, whereby smaller quantities, but we ran with approximately 7 SKUs, 2 in soups, 4 in dals, and 1 in the mango pulse, and we've already introduced that into the market. But our real capacity utilization will happen when other brands, start using our facility.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rajin Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, my question is for Milan Bhai. Milan Bhai, I saw the presentation, the press release and the opening remarks made by you and the CFO, Mr. Krishnan. Everything looks poised for a decent growth. So, my question is, last year we reported about 1,035 crore of top line and an EPS of about 10, almost 10. So, can we expect at least that much for the current year, or are we expecting anything, any kind of degrowth in the top line and bottom line? Because you said January has started
a good statement, and you said that based on what we are aware and the current call-offs and all that, I don't see it as a major challenge to maintain the same level.
Okay, so approximately what we achieved in FY23, we may close the year 24 with the same numbers, like almost. That is what you are mentioning. Okay. Sir, I wanted to know, after this reclassification, I don't know, of this promoter entities which are now public shareholders, the promoter holding is quite low at 20%. So, what is the reason for such a low promoter holding, just 20-21% post this reclassification or declassification? I don't know.
Yeah, so basically this was always the position. In fact, in this last quarter, there has been an acquisition of approximately 0.5%. So as and when opportunities are coming up and one is able to do it, one will see an increase. Doing it, the fact that the co-promoter decided to, reclassify themselves, and in fact in the process while they requested and the process was happening, they have already sold off out of their 19% level of almost 14% shares, and they're just holding 5%. So yes, we are conscious about it, and any opportunity that comes our way, we would be ensuring to get in a better stability.
Yeah, so when they sold 14%, we could have bought it, right? Or they sold it to some other entity?
It's not right to say that on a call, but sometimes you have a something called a loto, negative vote. You don't want to vote for someone, so you pass on a loto. So if one does not want to sell, the offers were there. But anyway, that's part of it. Foregone conclusion now, it's all over. But every effort and every offers were given at the right stages, which is, this has been panning out for the last 12 to 15 months. And at least what we wanted was the stability and the growth of the company and no other kind of forces to bring down the morale of our staff and everything, and we have been able to achieve that, including our support of our bankers and our investors, etc.
Yeah, you are right, Milan Bhai, but what happens normally, I'm a long-term investor, And normally, when the promoter holding is high, you know, the investors get confidence, and especially when it's a family-led business, you know.
Sure. Yeah, so we are in it for 50 years, almost with a similar level of holding. The kind of doing it, so in this 50 years, barring some minor changes, in fact, there has been this addition. So surely every endeavor would be made to get in a much, much better, you know, investor confidence.
Right. Sir, a couple of more questions actually. When can we see our products in DMart, Reliance Fresh, Spencer and all that? Because they have a better visibility and they have a huge market vis-a-vis Nature's basket.
Yes, our team are exploring all the opportunities. As you know, to launch any new product, it always takes some time to conceptualize the product, the technology, the visibility. So it's taking its own time, but we are pushing, and I believe that we will be coming to many stores over a period of time.
Sure. Can I ask one more question?
Yes, please.
Milan bhai, I wanted to know your vision. I wanted to understand your vision for this company over the next 2-3 years. Like, you know, we are doing 1,000 crore of top line. Where do you see this company in 3 years, you know?
So, you know, we, as my colleague did mention, that there is no doubt about the consumption story growth in this segment of beverages, which is our main segment, and we will continue to grow. Having said that, our other fresh initiatives, which is be it our spices, be it our Tetra Recart, we are at a very, very, I would say that for spices, it's been a couple of years, but for us, it's just been few years, but Tetra Recart and other, the scope and the possibilities for these segments, you know, doing a quantum leap business is very much a possibility, and we are all kind of geared up to ensure that you know we get better performance.
So, can I understand that we can see at least 13-15% kind of top line growth for the next 3 years at least from the current levels?
It's a matter of, yes, why not, but I don't want to give it a kind of figure, you know, or putting it whereby, you know, it becomes a kind of forward-thinking disclosure. At the same time, we'll be very happy that, yes, any kind of, as you called about my vision, I would not be happy if I grow less than 15%. That's the way I would put it up, and that's my personal thought process.
I would like to say one line that in we have different categories of products or facilities.
Right.
So we have now structured in such a way that each category has a team who are exploring independently all opportunities to grow in the market, to grab the market, because few sectors are really exceptionally doing well and we should not miss the bus. So all efforts are on from all sectors, and we are quite hopeful as a team, as a company, at the board level, we are all in aligned, and we hope to see a good year ahead.
Okay, right. And sir, is there any equity conversion pending, warrants pending to be converted into equity?
Yes, there's a quite a very substantial amount of conversion. Due date is by June of 2024, so we should, because it was 18 months from the issue date, and currently approximately only 30% of the allottees have converted them into 100% shares. Balance 70% are yet to exercise their right to convert it into equity.
So once that is done, sir, assuming that everybody converts, what will be the equity and what will be the promoter holding post that? Can I get some idea?
So the equity holding would go up by, it's about 1 rupee share, so it would go up, the capital would go up to approximately 7.20 crores. Having said that, we have done some ESOPs and all, so it will be slightly northwards of that 720, but they
take effect in multiple years. And yes, the endeavor is to maintain at a minimum level of 25 to 26%.
Promoter holding. Okay. Okay. Fine, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rushmik Oja from Nine Ray Equity Research. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Good afternoon, team. My question was on volumes for, you know, last quarter we have seen volume degrowth of 10% and for 9 months around 13%. And if I'm looking at FY23 minus 9 months FY23 last year, we've done almost 29,000 tons of volumes in Q4 of FY23. So will we see a number higher than 29,600 tons in Q4, or will it be lower than that, just to get a feel of the full year volume?
Rasmik, your entire question was not very clearly audible because your voice broke in between. So if you can just repeat, it would be helpful.
Yeah, I'm saying we have seen a 10% volume degrowth in Q3, and for 9 months it is 13% down. And last year in Q4, we had around 29,600 tons of volume. So will we do a number better than 30,000 in terms of volume to show volume growth in Q4, or will there be a degrowth in Q4 also?
As things stand today, we are supposed to show a better number than what we did the last quarter of FY23.
Okay. And my second question was on realization, because in the first half, you know, we had almost a 29% jump in realization based on the figures, you know, which you have given in the presentation. And in Q3, it is down 19%. I wanted to understand, is it because of the lower processing of tomato and guava, or something more than that?
No. So how it actually explains is that Q1 of FY24 would have had inventory of something that would have spilled over from FY23. As in the production year of FY22, and it would have spilled onto FY24 as well. So, likewise, what you actually see in Q3 is the actual realization of the inventory of this particular season as such. So, this is a 15-month contract. So, it's always a spillover that actually happens. I hope I've made you understand that.
Okay. Because the realizations keep changing a lot every quarter, I think so.
Correct.
Realization not only change for a particular... one of the reasons is why the realization is changing also is the product mix. Because we have a multiple products like mango, tomato, guava, then vegetables, and spray-like powder. So it depends on the product mix also. And the realization range, lower minimum level is 30, maximum can go up to 450 rupees. If these are different product mix, definitely going to be the realization will be going to be changed. So for apple to apple compare or something, each product you have to go. Then only better comparison can be done. But overall realization, yes, it depends on which product was more, what is the range of that product range, all these things.
Okay. And is there a seasonality in Q4? Because if I look at last year's numbers, for example, in the 9 months of FY23, the realization was 87,658, whereas in Q4 last year it shot up to 110,000, which was like 26% higher. A similar thing will play out in Q4 of this year also?
See, the inventory of this year is at a much lower price. Basically, it's a pass-on that we actually have with respect to the raw material price, right? So, when the raw material price is lower, the realizations are lower. And last year the Q4 bumped up basically because it was the entire last year inventory which actually came in Q4. So it would be with respect to the raw material price, which is actually lower this year.
Okay. And my second and last question is on this pectin project. Once you commercialize in Q1 of FY25, since it's a very small pilot kind of a project, what kind of revenues we can expect in FY25 from this pectin project, and what kind of margins can we look in?
So the whole company of Beyond Mango will generate around 15 crores of revenue is what are estimated, and 50% of that revenue is ours. and out of which the gross margins can be anywhere, gross margins are extremely high, basically because there is no cost of raw material, there is only a transport pricing rule that you will actually have to apply for the waste that will actually transport from food grains to beyond mango. But apart from this, the EBITDA margin should be north of 60% at that. So, you can do the math then.
Okay. And once this is properly commercialized, then what kind of ramp up are you looking at thereafter? Maybe because we'll have some, capacities, or probably space to increase capacity going forward.
It's very easy to actually replicate this and expand the capacity, but we would want to first be successful in the first project and then probably take the call of the next expansion. But once this is all set, I think the demand is there and the machineries are all set, the technology is all set. It's just a question of executing it and building our confidence and the investor confidence and taking the next step. That is where we are as a company.
Okay. And then my last question is on the debt side. What is the outstanding debt right now? Because, our quarterly interest now and the last three quarters has been at a run rate of close to 10 CR. So, what is the debt and how will the debt be positioned next year?
So, there were a couple of reasons that we have actually enlisted in our investor presentation with respect to why the interest rates have actually, the interest actually figure has gone up. One is basically because our CapEx, which was actually happening, has now been commercialized. So whatever used to hit the assets have now started coming to the P&L. That's number one. Second is with respect to the interest rate itself actually going up. Third is because, since we are actually availing the PLI, there is this interest subvention scheme which used to be there by the government, which is no longer applicable for us as we are actually taking benefits under the PLI. So, these are the three major reasons. The fourth other reason why the interest rates are up is also because of the higher inventory, which is actually, the higher inventory which is there with us. The higher inventory is actually causing us the additional working capital load which is there. But, having said that, whenever the call-off happens, the call-off would also have an element for this inventory holding cost, which will be compensated to us in the form of sales.
I would like to highlight one point here. I think we are all looking on the debt, but we should look at the total liability of the company. Last year, debt in lower side, but current liability, that is creditors, was quite higher side. So if you add both debt and current liability, other than the creditors, and if you compare the similar position of current year debt plus current creditors, we are at The same level. It has not increased. So here, data increased, but the indicators are reduced to that extent. So this is the interest increase. So here, one of the reasons, as Anand told, that last year, last mango season, we have lost 40% higher production based on the customer order, but unfortunately the call-off delayed, which causes the larger holding period interest cost. That is one of the reasons.
Thanks for the clarification. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shyam Garg from Ladder Up. Please proceed.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Hello. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. My first question is with respect to the revenue potential. What is our revenue potential when we will be working at 100% capacity on all our plants? And what's the breakup in case of each plant that revenue will be generating? And what is the capacity utilization in the last quarter and as well as this quarter?
Shyam, so basically our business model is such is that we don't rely only on our capacity. We also take up satellite capacities which are actually available for lease, and we actually put our people and take care of the production during the production time. And we wouldn't like to comment as to what the potential could be, basically because we have already given you a guidance with respect to whatever 3-4 year forward guidance could be, which is around 1800 crores is what we can actually do. So, apart from that, we wouldn't like to break it up with respect to our plans or with respect to each and every facility of ours as such.
Sir, what is the capacity utilization in Q3?
The average utilization is something that, again, is the
wrong. Q3,
the capacity utilization generally is very low, basically because it's a non-season time for us. Maximum production for us actually happens in Q1 and Q2 as such. So, Q3 is generally a low-lying period for us. But having said that, we do produce a lot of other fruits and vegetables during the Q3 season, but this particular Q3, we have had lower production for tomatoes and guava.
Okay, sir, any specific number of capacity utilization?
Sorry?
Any percentages, any numbers on capacity utilization? What was the capacity utilization?
So this is exactly what I said initially, that for us it's the capacity that we have in-house as well as what we actually outsource as well. So if you just see the in-house capacity, will never give you the right picture. We utilize satellite capacities to increase our production. That's how we have actually grown our sales in the last 2-3 years.
Okay, sir. And what is the order book as of now that we have?
Yes, we have an order book of 40% plus, which we actually did produce, to cater to that increased order book as of the beginning of the year.
Okay, sir. Any, if I can know the order book at the beginning of the year,
So 40% more than what we did last year is what we are saying. So our production was higher, our production was approximately around 130,000 tons.
Okay. And sir, any specific guidance with respect to the segments that we will be targeting in the next 2-3 quarters?
The voice is not very clear.
Sir, any guidance on regarding the pulping business? We are largely mostly into mango pulping, and we are trying to diversify into tomato and guava. So if you can give guidance regarding the next 2-3 quarters.
There is no specific guidance that we can actually give with respect to each and every product. So, Mudamudi, we have already given you the guidance with respect to what our order books are as of the beginning of the year. It will definitely get coiled up over the 15-month window is all that we can actually say. But production of tomato and guava were lower because of its sales, that will be lower going forward.
But one thing, please, we would like to highlight that being a seasonal industry, whenever the specific variety of fruits available, we run from day one till day end. We do not wait for customer's order because being in this industry for the last 50 years, we have a fair idea on the customer requirements. So our challenge is that how to maximize the production during raw material availability. That is the whole focus of the company.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Purvesh Tibriwala from Fin Avenue Growth Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, loud and clear. Hi, Purvesh.
Sir Purvesh, please go ahead with your question. You are audible.
Yes, audible.
Yes, you are audible.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask some more questions on the pectin business. So you told sir that at optimum capacity we will be trying to make around 15 crores of revenue. So this entirely 15 crores is from the pectin main product, or you have mentioned that oils and butter also. So are you also going to make that simultaneously and we are making 15 crores out of that, sir? I wanted to know that. And are these products similar to what Manorama Industries is making, sir? So, can you highlight more on that, sir?
Sure. So, the 15 crores that we are actually talking about is only from pectin. We are not talking about the other products that we can actually get from it. All those products will be in stage 2 after we actually start manufacturing pectin as such. So, that's with respect to first question of yours. Second, the product is not similar to what we actually, what the Manorama industry does. But the stage 2 products that we will actually generate, that's out of cocoa butter or the CB equivalent, will be very similar to what Manorama industry does.
Okay, and at the stage 2?
Correct.
Okay. And other question was, sir, that this plant of pectin we have established at Chittoor, but we have other pulping units at Maharashtra and Gujarat also. So is it like that we are going to transport the waste, mango waste from there to Chittoor, or like in the future we are going to establish a pectin plant there also? Like, what's the plan, sir? Like, what will it happen? And look, this is a feedstock for the pectin business, so like I wanted to know some clarity on that also.
Right. So Chittoor is the largest mango pulping belt in India as such. So the current pectin plant has been put out outside one of our factories in Chittoor. We have our own three factories in Chittoor, but we have put the factory only outside one factory. So this particular factory has more than enough field to actually give to this particular pectin unit. Having said the same, once we actually stabilize on this particular unit, we will expand in Chittoor and then probably actually expand into our other regions wherever we are present.
But currently, we will be collecting the waste from western region, and after drying process, we will take it to our Chittoor unit where the facility is there.
Okay. So we'll be transporting after drying the tea.
Yes.
Okay. And sir, my other question was on the green top business. So can you highlight on what's going on that? How is the growth? And like, what are we making? What are the future prospects of that? Can you highlight something more on that?
Okay. Green top, basically our brand, which we started in domestic market in the frozen category initially. I think 8-9 months ago, maybe 1 year ago. And currently, we are mainly focusing in general trade and Horeca market, and able to scaling up the operation, and current sale is not much, maybe around 25 lakhs per month, absolutely in the consumer side. And we are only Maharashtra, in Mumbai, Pune and Nashik, three regions we are selling as of now. Now we have expanded to Goa, and we have now tied up in northern part of India also. We are very soon, we are establishing our office there, satellite office, as well as the distribution network there. So we are expanding in this consumer division brand build up in a slow scale, but steady. And after analyzing each every market, and what is the acceptability based on that, we are moving a slow step. That is a frozen category. Second category is the Tetra Ricard. That is also green top brand, where we have launched 7 products so far. One is the pulp category, mango. Other 6 in the ready to eat. And that also, I think, a lot of corrective action may have to take based on the taste profile of the consumer. So that is also going in a slow space. But we are quite hopeful that within a year, or maybe 18 months period, we will have a much better visibility on the green top brand in frozen as well as in Tetra Ricard. Recently we have also launched our product in Gulf market, first in Dubai, in green top vegetables. Very soon it will be available in Dubai market also. And let's see, I think we are quite hopeful that we'll be able to, because we are manufacturing frozen since 1993 on private label. So we quite well understand the customer test profile, everything each province, and accordingly we are taking a very step.
Okay. So sir, what the other joint venture partner doing in this business then? Sir, we have only 50%, I guess, or 49%. So what are they contributing, and who are they, sir?
Brand that is under Triveni brand just before pre-COVID level, and then it's not very successful, so then we discontinued the Triveni brand and we have relaunched our Vintop brand. So now Vintop is 100% on it.
So all the frozen food we are manufacturing captively, sir, whatever we are selling.
No, captively. in our own country.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rohit Ori from Progressive Shares. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, a couple of questions. First one related to the debt part of the component of the entire business, which Anand also alluded. I understand that some part will auto-correct. But do you think you should be looking at some rights issue or maybe refinancing the debt or refinancing the, rebalancing the entire debt portion?
Hi Rohit. So basically, the debt is only based on working capital as we see as of now. The long-term debt is basically very limited to the quantum of capex that we have done, but we are also getting incentives from the government for that. So the working capital debt is something that you see because the business has actually grown, right? And in this particular year, the inventories have actually had lower call-offs because of which there is the working capital debt that has built up. But having said that, the other part of the equity, which the warrants actually get in once it gets converted, should easily suffice us with respect to the capital that we need. So you're not bothered about the debt at all.
Okay. Anand, on the freight cost, the Red Sea issue, of course everybody knows about that, but what is the kind of contract that we have? Do we have FOB, CIF or CFR or DDP?
Most of our contracts are on FOB basis only.
No, I mean, not most, I think 99%+ is FOB. There may be a couple of contracts on CIF or CFR basis, but now this is a fourth major clause. If you read the news, so
we are asked to all the customers who are having the CIF contract, and everybody has agreed to revise the price. So there is no impact for us on the recent rate issue.
Okay. We have around 61 domestic and around 39 for the export.
Is it a big difference in the realizations that we get in the domestic and the export market?
Realization depends on which product. So because in export market, we sell, major sale is the Alfonso, which is a premium variety. Mm-hmm. So that's having a better realization. In domestic market, we sell a product called Kolhapuri, which is a package realization or farm metric realization lower. So it depends on the product use, but apple to apple on the product wise, yes, in a particular category, what we are selling in domestic market is having better realization than export market.
Oh, okay. So you are comfortable with this 60-40 domestic versus the export kind of a range?
Yeah, growth produce in India, as all of you know, I mean, with this such population, there is a huge opportunity in India, and brands whether Coke, Pepsi or Parle, since COVID period, they have already increased the capacity by 30-odd%, and they would like to invest further 20-25%. To increase the capacity. So I think we will go with this flow. We see a huge opportunity in India market. Though we are not neglecting at all export market, we all time we are looking wherever we are not in present currency, or focusing in that market more in export. Mm-hmm.
Sir, in the domestic market, we do see a lot of opportunities in other parts like chili, garlic, ginger. So do you think Foodzen will be interested in that business also going forward, maybe in next 2-3 years?
We are already in this business since few years. We supply to brands like Ching, quite a lot of products. We also supply to other brands. And we have recently restructured or renovated our chili, garlic, ginger capacity in B2B. So I feel that's a good opportunity as a rightly said. But unfortunately, realization price per metric ton is very lower, so even if you sell a higher volume, technically it's not much impact on the overall sales value. Yes, there is a good space and we would like to grow in that space also.
And on the spices masala side, what sort of developments are there currently to increase the capacity that we have? Because I understand it's quite restricted, and we do have some satellite players as well. But in terms of the high margin business, that we can fetch some more profitability, if you'd like to share something on that.
on the...
So basically the capacity for manufacture at Kusum is very well you know, provided for. We shifted it since our takeover to our Nasik facilities, and we do not foresee any challenges to take it to an easy level of 3x to 4x plus from the current level. As far as the markets are concerned, we are into domestic, hardly into the western zone, and we see the western covering up Maharashtra, Gujarat, Goa, etc. There is already enough opportunities, and we are making inroads into that. As far as export is concerned, we are very well established in the Oman market. There is a certain change of regulations that have happened in the previous year up there, and we are now making sure that we would be able to comply to that requirement.
Okay. So my last question is, do you think you'll be able to double the turnover from last year being the base by 29 or something?
By 29, you said? No, sorry. Can you just come again? We need to out the context.
Yes, sir. Taking the base as last year and probably doubling the turnover by FY29 or so. Sorry, I didn't get that, Anand.
Sorry, I don't think we have understood your question well, because there was some disturbance in the line. Can you just repeat?
Can we reach 2000 crore kind of a top line by 20?
Why not? That's what the team is meant to...
That's what we are paid for, boss.
We all are working in that line.
Okay, okay, Adam, that's quite encouraging. Thank you, sir. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Participants, now I hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Alright. Thank you, Joseph. I want to express my gratitude to all our investors and shareholders for their continued support. Your trust in our company is invaluable and we take it seriously. We have already laid a strong foundation for consistency and sustainability and are confident in our ability to navigate these waters and emerge stronger. Should you need any further clarifications or would you like to know more about the company, please feel free to write to us. Thank you once again.
Thank you. On behalf of Food and Inn, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.